have two scripture readings this morning. The first one comes from the Gospel according to Luke. It's found in chapter 19 and begins with verse 28. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." And our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke. It's found in chapter 23 and begins with verse 1. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he has sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. Not too long ago, I saw a commercial on TV for a drug that is supposed to help women deal with the symptoms of PMDD. Now, I don't remember precisely what that stands for, but I surmise from the context of the commercial that it's supposed to make PMS look like a walk in the park. Now, any women who have suffered from the mood swings associated with PMS and the men who have loved them can certainly have empathy for the new sufferers of PMDD. However, as tumultuous a roller coaster ride those mood swings can be, they cannot hold a candle to TYOS. Never heard of that one? Want to know what it stands for? 3-year-old syndrome. I have been the parent of one and survived, but the prospect of facing another one in a couple of years is daunting. Nothing can match the experience of the turn on a dime emotions of a 3-year-old. Can I get an amen from a young parent in the house? All right. 1 minute, your child is staring up at you with sheer adoration, deeply and truly in love with you, and the feeling is mutual. And then, for no discernible reason, at least not to you, they are on the floor, angry, brokenhearted, and wallowing in despair. And you're left there, scratching your head, wondering what just happened. All the while, people around you are looking at you and wondering what you just did to that adorable child. Or at least you're sure that's what they're thinking. You know, when I think about the fickle emotional state of many toddlers, I think they bear some similarity to the folks in Jerusalem that we've just read about in our gospel reading in Jesus' last days. In a mere few days, less than a week's time, they go from Hosanna, blessed is he, yay Jesus, you're the king, we love you, to crucify him, get rid of the scumbag. And it didn't take much more than a few noisy Pharisees to accomplish that change. Their mood, the mood of that crowd in Jerusalem, turned awfully fast. In a matter of days, this hip, cool Jesus on the donkey is no longer the going thing. They've forgotten the miracles, forgotten the feeding of the crowds, forgotten the healing, the teachings. They're into the next new thing. Crucify him, they shout. You know, if they'd had the technology at the time, there probably would have been some guy on the corner with a cart selling t-shirts and bumper stickers that said that. And then, when they take him to the cross and raise him up on Calvary, only a very small group remains. Most of the moderately interested, and even many of his followers, have by now turned away. It's not fun. It's scary. So let's move on to something else. We just can't take this pain and ugliness. It is often our temptation, we Christians on the post-resurrection side of the cross. We are too tempted to walk away from the cross. For many of us, if we had our way, we'd bypass it altogether. We'd go straight from the palm waving of the children today to the Easter egg hunt and the resurrection next Sunday. Only a few stayed at the cross. And that's where we are called to stay, just for a while. We need to see the pain, the suffering, the betrayal, and the love that bore it all and still said, forgive them, where they don't understand what they're doing. Later, it was those same people who stuck around through the hard times, who returned to care for his body, that got the best surprise of their lives. They didn't turn away from the cross. They went the distance. Today, Jesus knows that our lives aren't always easy or fun. He knows we hurt. We have ups and downs, challenges, times when we are afraid, when we want to run away. But he calls us. He begs us to stay, to face our sin, face the hard times, face the shame and the suffering of the cross. Stay by his side and follow. It's not always going to be easy, but we do know where he is leading us.